Amen. We thank God for our praise and worship team and the musicians. We thank God for you, for you have blessed us on today. First, giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit, to the deacons present, to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ online, and those who are here, there is a word from the Lord on today. While we're getting ready to go into the scripture, I want you to grab the kids, grab the teenagers, grab everybody in your house and bring them to the phone, bring them to the TV. All right? This is a word from the Lord for everybody. And I'm going to give you a few seconds to get that. While you're getting your kids, wake them up, you know, bring them on in. We're going to come from 1 Peter and the 5th chapter, and we're going to read, start at the 5th verse. We may not get through it all, but we're going to go through 5 through 11. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11. Some people sat through 9 hours of football last night. 9 hours. Nine. The average American football game is 3 hours per game with commercials. Some people watch 3 of them back to back to back. The Lord just wants about 90 minutes of your time. And we already threw about 45 of them. So if God can just have another 30 minutes, get the kids. If the sermon's not on the TV, please put it on the TV. If you want to watch it on your phone, turn your TV off. Be obedient and let you and your family get a word from the Lord on today. Because surely if we can sit through 9 hours and somebody's prepped and primed to sit through another 9 hours today, and the Chiefs don't even play. Just about 30 minutes, y'all. Just 30 minutes. Just 30 minutes. 1 Peter 5 and 5. It reads as follows. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves. Let me say that again. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I found a shall in the scripture. Verse 7 says, casting all your care. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And I'm going to read 8. We might not get to it, but I'm going to read it anyhow. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. I'm going to read 10 and 11 too. I just feel like reading it. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Listen. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. If I had to use for a thought today, it would be this right here. Can't hear it. That's the emergency broadcast system. And the thought for today is we interrupt your normal programming for this emergency announcement. I just want to interrupt. God wants to interrupt everything you used to doing, everything that you are habitually, everything that you are religiously doing. God wants to interrupt your normal scheduled programming for this emergency announcement. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We give you honor and we lift you up. We ask right now that you use me as your vessel. Hide me behind your cross. Allow people to see you and hear you. And not me. Allow me to decrease so that you may increase. Use your servant on today, however you see fit. Guide my mind. Speak with my mouth. Lord, allow me to decrease so that you may increase. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And God, we're going to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for it belongs to you. Let every heart say amen, amen, and amen, amen. If you haven't already, just take a moment and share the stream. Just share it. Just in the time I said that, I shared the stream. But we interrupt your normal programming for this emergency announcement. It was around AD 65, and King Caesar, Nero Caesar, had been emperor for about 11 years prior to when this passage was written. During his reign, it started well, and they were rich. Wealth and prosperity had consumed the kingdom. And then it transitioned into blood spill and persecution and murder and plotting and death and all types of things. And Caesar even had his own mother murdered. Now, did y'all hear what I said? I know we flip out sometime and we lose the better parts of our minds, but he had his mama killed. And to add insult to injury, he had set parts of Rome on fire and then turned around and blamed it on God's church. Come on now. Come on. Now, God's church didn't do any of this, but he blamed God's church for burning various parts of Rome. He used Christians as scapegoats. It was doing, because of that, it caused Christians to go through great trials, immense suffering, and a huge deal of persecution. This is the background. This is the reason. This is what compelled God to inspire Peter to write the scripture that we just read in your hearing. It was for the church then, and it's for the church now. To teach us, Christians, God's children, what? How to endure through testing, through trials and tribulation, through persecution, whether it be legitimate or illegitimate, but and still be able to persevere in times of intense trials and suffering. We've said it a million times, and you've heard it numerous of times. Anybody can be a good loud, singing, shouting, sprinting the aisles Christian when things are going well.
Come on, y'all. I don't see you in the comments. I can see the comments. I can hear you here. Anybody can shout when the money's coming in. And you see the post, God has been good to me. I seen hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, because people have gotten the stimulus checks. See, it's easy to give God thanks and praise God and talk about how good the man upstairs is, as some people reference him, and they start giving God shout outs when the blessings come in. But church, it doesn't take much faith to give God glory when things are going great in our lives. Am I right about it? Am I right about it? When we are blessed with the desires of our heart, it is so easy to give God his due praise. Somebody said, Pastor Trey, I've been talking to God and things are rough in my life. I said, give God praise. It's the difference between talking to God and praising God. It's the difference between crying and complaining to God and praising God. It's the difference between reading God's scripture and praying to God and then getting up off your knees and doing exactly what you want to do and never hearing from God. But what about when the bottom falls out, church? What about when the disconnect notices come in? What about when our children are breaking our hearts and betraying our trust? What about when our children are doing the exact opposite of what we've taught them to do? They're doing the exact reciprocal of everything that you've trained them to do. When persecution comes and we are just trying to do the right thing, when the nights are hard and the days are long, that's when our faith is supposed to kick in and announce and remind to us that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. But so many times we get caught in our normal scheduled programming of handling things the way that we want to handle. But we lose track of who God is and what he's already done for us. I hear you talking at your breakfast table. You know, some of us, when we listening to our gospel music on Sundays, and we pray in the morning and the evening like Big Mama taught us to. And Pastor Trey, I tune in to the live streams and I listen to preaching on my lunch break and I listen to it in my car sometime. And when y'all put the Cash App on the Facebook stream, I send a little offering. Notice I didn't say tithing, but that's a whole nother sermon. But I give a little something. I'll digress on that one. But we feel we are doing our level best at being Christians and serving God. As the grandparents and old folks used to say, bless our little hearts. Because we feel like we're doing the best that we can. And you ask yourself, God, why am I still suffering? Why am I still going through? I've been praying and I've been teaching Sunday school. I've been feeding the homeless. I've adopted families at Christmas and I'm putting change in the Salvation Army cups when they're shaking the bells at Walmart. I'm buying Girl Scout cookies. Some people are saying they just want to support the Girl Scouts, but somebody has a freezer that was full of Thin Mints and shortbreads. Well, I want to remind you that the time has come again that you can take care of that struggle because they're about to start selling them again. But all the good deeds that we're doing, they don't amount to anything. You can do all these good deeds and still be in a fight for your life. It just seems that no matter how good I try to be, or how much good I try to do, Lord, I did not think that I would be at this point, at this season in my life. Some of us had a rough 2020. And then you get news that shook and rocked the very foundation of your household, of your life. And you go into 21 with worse news than you ever dealt with in 20. And you say, Lord, if 20 wasn't bad enough, this is how we going to start 21? Oh, Lord, it's me. It's not my mother. It's not my father, God, but it's me standing in the need of prayer. Well, church, do you want me to tell you what you want to hear? Or do you want me to tell you the truth? Do you want me to sugarcoat it for you or keep it 100? Or how the young people would say, do you want me to start capping? That's another word for lying. Let me hip you old folks up to that. When you hear them talk about stop capping, that means they want you to stop lying, okay? So if you hear them, if you say something to your kids and they say that's a cap, slap them right across their face because they have just told you that you lying. I'm just trying to put you on game now. Somebody put capping in the comments. Put capping in the comments. Don't, if you didn't take nothing from this sermon, don't ever let your kids tell you that you capping. C-A-P-P-I-N-G. Do you want me to keep it real with you? Well, regardless of what your choice is, I'm going to be obedient to God and tell you what he wants us to know. God wants to interrupt our scheduled normal program to let us know that that our no power having nonsense methodical ways of enduring and suffering hard times doesn't amount to anything. But here goes the first announcement, the second one. Here's the truth. No cap. I'm going to give you the bad news first. We may not get out of our sufferings right away. I know I can't get an amen on that one, but I got to give it to you real. We may not get out of our suffering right away. We may suffer for a little while. The nights may get hard and the days may get longer. I can't promise you that when we give the benediction today that your suffering will end, but I'm going to keep it real because there's some good news too. That God is going to come through. God is going to show up, and just because he hasn't delivered you yet does not mean he's not going to come through. Is there anybody here who can testify that I've been down to my last dime and I've never been without anything? Is there anybody here that can testify that I've been on my last breath and God has restored my health? Is there anybody here that's had just a little bit of their mind left and God kept you in your right mind? I'm trying to tell you that I was sinking. I was sinking deep in sin. But it was God that reached out and kept me. You have to understand that had it not been for God on your side, the sun is going to come out. But we may have to suffer for a little while. You didn't see all them prophetic slogans this year, did you? You didn't see all that this year because 20 rocked the very foundation of every person and every Christian on this earth. So 21 people are like, wait a minute. But the truth of the matter is that we may suffer for a little while. Let me go to the first point. Likewise, you younger people, I told you to go get your kids. You younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. My first point is, my first formal announcement is, it's going to take humility and listening. Humility and listening. Young people, inexperienced people, listen. Those who are more experienced than you and have your best interest at heart, listen. Beloved, we're at a time where John B. and Cardi B. and Meg Thee Stallion have more influence over our girls than their own mothers. We're at a time where Master P and My Day and Trey Songz and Lil Baby and Da Baby, and yet there's two of them. Y'all didn't know that. There's a Lil Baby and a Da Baby, and these people and the Kardashian girls and all these people have influence over our households, and we've never met them. Our daughters and sons will listen to people they've never met and apply the practices that they rap and sing about that they don't even do and not listen to us. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. We live in a time where we got new Christians who just got saved and don't want to listen to the pastor and to the deacons and to the elders, and they're calling and asking for counsel, and they don't want to hear what you have to say. They still want to be saved, but they still want to clown a little bit, and we want to act like the world. Come on now. I'm not the only one that sometimes I want to handle things my way. You know, I want to do things, that's what Usher said, I want to do it my way. But we only want to hear and listen to people when they are saying what we want them to say. You want to get rid of somebody on the phone? Tell them the truth. You won't hear from them for a while. Especially if they're talking to other folk who tell them exactly what they want to hear. I can't remember who said it. But you will know when somebody wants to change, because they will heed to the truth and the wisdom of God. A wise man said, not me, until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change, we won't. A wise man said, not me, until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change, we won't. Young people, inexperienced people, those who are new to the faith, the Bible says in Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves instruction, children, young people, inexperienced people, babes in the Lord, seasoned Christians, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. Don't get mad at me, I didn't say this. But he who hates correction is stupid. I didn't even paraphrase. You can look it up yourself in the NKJV. It literally says stupid. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure it out that if you don't love instruction and you're resisting instruction, you're going to end up being stupid. I used to tell my grandpa, hey, grandpa, I don't want to go to church today. And he would say, you don't want to be a dummy, do you? And that was enough to make me get up and get on my way. Proverbs 19:20-21 says, listen to counsel. Listen to counsel. And receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. We all got our ways that we want to do things. We all got our ways that we want to move and groove and take care of business, and we think our way is the best way. But Proverbs is telling us it's the Lord's way of doing things that will stand and prosper. Now, that's just what the Lord says in his word. Listen to counsel. And don't just listen to it. Receive the instruction. We don't know anything. That's like me trying to be a business owner. And I'm trying to make a bunch of money and start a business. And I'm taking advice from people who ain't never made $2. That don't make sense. But we do it. I'm trying to work on my marriage, but I'm talking to somebody who's in between their fifth one. I'm trying to keep my husband, but I'm talking to somebody that can't keep a man. See, it doesn't make sense. We have to listen to counsel and receive instruction. Why? So we can be wise in our latter day. The reason why we keep making the same mistake over and over is that we're not receiving instruction while we enduring the pain. We just land in the pain waiting to be delivered, but we not land in the pain learning how not to enter it again. Because we want to do what we want to do. We have to understand. We have to understand that God is in control all the time. So you can be in charge and not be in control. Most of us will admit that God is in charge of everything, but we still want to control things at the same time. You can't do both. Okay? We have to submit ourselves to God. When we come in church and we stretch our hands and we raise our hands up, that is a physical display of surrendering and submitting ourselves to the Lord. That's what that is. That's what that is. We have to understand that we have to be submissive to one another. Don't nobody want nobody telling them what to do. That's the problem. You ever see your kids talking? And they cool and having fun until somebody try to usurp authority or tell them to do something they don't want to do, then everybody gets a little bent out of shape. That's how we look as grown folk. As soon as somebody asks you or tell you that you need to do something different, and because you don't want to hear that truth, we raise up. That's called pride. And what 1 Peter is telling us is that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I was thinking about how Peter would be thinking about being clothed with humility. And really what that means, church, is when Peter was up in the upper room with the disciples. And normally it's tradition for somebody, the slave in the room or the lower servant, to wash the feet. I'm trying not to get excited. If I was traditional, I would have saved this for the end, but the Lord wants me to put it here. It's tradition for the lowest servant to wash the feet. I'm talking about humility. For the lowest servant to wash the feet of the guest or the dinner party while they fellowshipping and talking and having a good old time. Come on, where are my Bible readers at? I hope y'all understand where I'm going with this. And when they went up into the upper room, all the disciples, all the dogs, everybody just sat down and started talking and having a good old time. And nobody thought about continuing the tradition of cleaning the feet of those who were getting ready to break bread. Let me talk about humility. And what Jesus Christ did was he took off his robe and put on the apron of a slave and got on his knees and started washing the feet of the disciples of whom he trained and called and saved. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace got down on his knees, put on an apron of a slave, and washed all 12 feet that were at the table that day. Some of us think that we've arrived. Some of us think that we are high and mighty. Some of us think that we at the top of the ceiling. No matter how high you think you are, don't think that you can't serve nobody else. I'm just trying to help you. You know, man can exalt you and you can exalt you, but we have to remain humble so that God can exalt you. How many people want to be exalted by God in heaven? How many people want to be lifted up by God in heaven? How many people want to be blessed? I'm just trying to say that if Jesus can wash the feet of them trifling disciples, then there shouldn't be nothing that we can't do. If Jesus can put on the slave apron and wash nasty, stinking feet, then what is it that we can't do? If Jesus, humble yourself. Lord, humble me. Somebody put humble me in the comments. If you hear right now, say, God, humble me. Humble me. Some of us can't humble. We can't hear God because we won't humble ourselves. We won't listen to our parents and listen to the elders because we won't humble ourselves. Nobody wants to put on. We want to put on Nikes and we want to put on Jordans and we want to put on clothes, but nobody wants to put on that outfit that says humility. I just gave somebody an idea. Start a shoe brand called Humility. Wear that. Take off the Jordans and the LeBrons and put on Humilities. God wants to exalt us. But listen, it says not in our time, but in due time. It says in due time. There's two forms of time that we talk about a lot. It's Kairos and it's Chronos. You know, when you clock in at work and you got to use Chronos, we say Chronos, you know, in the Greek it's Chronos, but you know, whatever. But Chronos or Chronos is chronological time, time that we can see, time that we can manage with the clock. I can tell you I'll see you next Friday if it be the Lord's will, or next Sunday, because we know that 7 days, 24 hours times seven, I should see you again at this very place if the Lord say the same. We can track that time. My son turned one today because he was born 365 days ago today. We can track that. That's Chronos. Okay, some of us gonna go home and put some stuff in the oven. We're gonna set the timer for 45 minutes, and in 45 minutes we're gonna go get that chicken or that steak or whatever, and we're gonna break bread. That's Chronos. Kairos is a time that we can't manage. Kairos is a divine time that we can't track. Kairos is how God moves, which means God is sovereign and he's going to do stuff when he wants to, how he wants to, on his time. I'm trying to tell you that we can't rush God, we can't go behind God, but we have to wait, I say, on the Lord. In due time. In due time. I know you're tired of being sick, and I know that you're tired of your kids clowning. I know you're tired of your boss. I know that you're tired of being broke. But after you suffered just for a little while, after you suffered, don't nobody want to suffer, but everybody wants to be anointed. Don't nobody want to suffer, but everybody want a testimony. You can't testify if you've not been tested. You can't shout and dance if you ain't been through nothing. See, we struggling, we wrestling in due time. I'm reminded, let me tell you another story. I'm almost done. I thought about Jacob. And y'all know Jacob. Jacob was a liar. He was a trickster. And he stole Esau's birthright. Is that right? Come on, my Bible readers. I think I'm right. And so what he did was, he ran and he got away. And about 20 years later, you know how it went viral. And he found out through somebody's post, through somebody, they tagged him in it. And it said, Esau, your brother's on the way. And boy, Jacob got a little nervous. He was like, man, Esau don't play. He's not a social media gangster. Esau's the truth. I grew up with him. I know I can't whoop Esau. That very night, my Bible tells me that Jacob wrestled all night long. He struggled with an angel that the Bible tells us was the incarnate version of God himself. What are you trying to say, preacher? That sometime when God is trying to take you this way and you trying to go that way, that's because you struggling with your will versus God's will. You can't keep wrestling with God because he's trying to take you where you want to be and you trying to stay where you at and still praying that you tired of your circumstance. It sounds like confusion to me. You got to let go and let God have his way. See, what I'm saying, see, we struggling because every time that I try to do right, evil is always present. And the good that I want to do, that's what I don't do. And the things that I don't do, those are the things that I really, really want to do. Let me tell you something. If you are not struggling, then that means you're resisting. We got to go through some things in our life. We're trying to be Christians based on our goodness, based on our ability. But those of us who've been through some things, those of us who done been through the fire, we know that we need grace. Come on, am I the only one? If you know you've been laying up on that table and you wake up and you thought it was a 45-minute procedure and you wake up and tell you that you've been under for 9 or 10 hours, how many people know that you need grace? How many people know that you need God's mercy? How many people know that I can't do it without God on my side? What are you trying to say? That once you realize that I need God, that's the beginning of your humility. Have you ever been so messed up and so hit rock bottom that you have to be rock bottom to realize that you need the rock? Have you ever been so low that all you can do is look up towards heaven and stretch your hands to God and say, Father, I stretch my hands. See, we done all been through some things. And we get to sit down and be all sadiddy because some people have allowed other people to make us embarrassed of our testimony. I'm trying to tell you, don't ever be embarrassed of where God has brought you from, because it's your past that lets you see the power of God that has manifested in your life. It's your past that gave you your testimony. It's your past that gave you your faith. It's your past that gave you your power. It is your past. I might have to stop right about there. We have to finish another day because I think that people have to understand that we, in order to listen, we have to be humble. We have to understand that we need God more than we need anything else. We have to understand that we don't get to put our sufferings and our stress and our diagnosis and our prognosis, we don't get to put that on our own time, but we have to say, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. We have to remember when we don't want to hear the truth that if my Jesus can wash the feet of mere men, then God, I can do whatever you tell me to do. God, if I got to be broke a little while longer, I'm still going to bless your name. God, if I got to be sick a little while longer, I'm still going to praise you all the days of my life. If I spend the rest of my life suffering, God, I know that in heaven there's a mansion with my name on it. I don't care what happens here on earth. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. How many people are going to bless God no matter what? When your kids are sick, can you bless God? When the doctors say you might not make it, can you praise God? When you lose your job, can you praise him? We have to submit ourselves. We have to surrender ourselves. Father, I give myself. The Lord just wanted to interrupt. He just wanted to interrupt your normal schedule program. And he wants to be put first in your life. Because my word tells me, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. See, a lot of us spent 20 in worry. A lot of us are worried right now. But the word says that if you allow God to interrupt your normal scheduled programming, 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about his own things. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. And then I'm reminded in the Old Testament, the reason why I don't have to worry about tomorrow or today, because the word says, as thy days are. Now, you can shout right now. You can shout right now, because as your days are, so shall your strength be. God is not going to allow you to wake up and not give you what you need to get through the day. So whatever the doctor says, you can beat it. You have the victory in the name of Jesus. I don't have to worry about losing on Thursday because I haven't lost all week. Because the God that I serve, the God that died for me on Calvary, the God that got up on the third day, the blood that was shed for me on Calvary, Oh, the blood. The blood. In the old church, we said it will never, ever. But it reaches. So when you think you're high up on your mountain, it reaches. It reaches. And when you're in the gutter, when you're at your lowest moment, when you feel like throwing in the towel, when you feel like you want to give up, when you feel like you don't got no more fight in you, when you're in the valley, the blood reaches. It flows. It flows. The power of the blood flows through the lowest valley. It flows through the lowest valley. It flows through the lowest valley. It flows through the lowest valley. Because the power that allowed Jesus to hang on the cross is the same power that allowed him to come up from the grave. It's the same power that's going to heal you. It's the same power that's going to deliver you. It's the same power that's going to heal your children. It's the same power that has brought you through. I can't leave without reading the shout in the scripture. There's a shout in the scripture. I almost forgot about it. Verse 7 says, and we're going to go home, casting all your cares up on him. Here goes the shout. You know what the shout is? Because he cares for you. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. Do you know that God cares for you? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God loves you to the point of death? That no matter what you've done, God will always love you. The problem is, church, we haven't given it to God. The problem is, church, we still trying to manage it on our own. Some of us are broken because our family don't love us no more. Some of us are broken because he's been abusing me. Some of us are broken because she cheated on me. Some of us are broken because I've been dogged all my life. But here's the blessing. God cares for you. And as long as I got King Jesus, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, hey man, God cares for me. Come on, come on, come on. Look at somebody and say, God cares for me. Go ahead and tell Satan, Satan, God cares for me. Get thee behind me, Satan, because God cares for me. Baby girl, I don't care what you've been through. God cares for you. Young man, I don't care what you did last night. God cares for you. I don't care if you ain't been to church in 20 years. God cares for you. I don't care if you murdered somebody. God cares for you. When the church realizes that God cares for us and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We will be able to flourish and persevere in spite of persecution. That was going to be the title. How to flourish, how to persevere in spite of persecution. We have to listen and be humble. We have to listen and be humble. Receive instruction. Listen to godly counsel. And always remember that God cares for you. I don't care what it looks like now, church. God cares for you. I don't care what you're going through in your life. God cares. He cares for me. And I know that he cares for you. Because if he can care for old Raggedy Trey and all the raggedy stuff that I've done and still never stop loving me, like Paul said, I would be called the chief of sinners, but God still cares for me. He still cares for me. He still cares for me. It sounds simple, but listen to the words. He still cares for me. I know I'm not the only one going through some things, but I know that sometimes when people don't have the words to say, just allow the Lord to interrupt the shenanigans allow God to turn the TV off. Allow God to mute your so-called friends and haters and people who don't mean you no good and people who don't know nothing. Allow God to interrupt them and be reminded that God cares for you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father,